This is the Hammer Down Show, 1017 The Hammer, 1017thehammer.com. Kyle Charters here sitting in for Jared Jesulaitis today, tomorrow, and Monday. I guess if I had to pick 3 days to sit in for Jared, these might be the 3 days. Excited to be talking a little bit of Final Four and Final Four matchup against NC State. With that in mind, let's go to the Hammerhead Hotline and bring in Rob Baxley, who covers NC State for the Fayetteville Observer. Hey, Rob, appreciate the time. I know it's a busy day out there in Phoenix with some media availability both today and tomorrow, and then, of course, the game on Saturday. So appreciate you taking a couple of minutes here this afternoon. Hey, a month ago, what did you anticipate that you would be doing this weekend?
Well, I thought I'd be covering Carolina or Duke here, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't see State in the cards, but that's the beauty of March Madness.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a heck of a run. 9 straight victories after, a 4-game losing streak to end the regular season. It looked like, maybe potentially you'd be covering a different kind of news for the Wolfpack. Instead, they go on that run. I mean, a miraculous game against Virginia in the ACC tournament to even get to this point. What switched along the way? And can you put your finger on, or can NC State put its finger on, when that occurred?
Well, I go back to when they lost to Duke at home in their final home game. 15-point loss. That everybody's despondent. It's the most Duke fans I've ever seen at PNC Arena. But Keats was as enthusiastic as I've seen him. He's like, well, guys, we got one more game in the regular season, and then it's 0-0. We'll have a chance in the postseason like everybody else. So I think it really stems from belief and the belief throughout the team that starts with Keats. Yeah. And once they saw, a few wins string together, that belief grew, and now they feel like they can beat anybody when they take the court.
Yeah, I mean, watching them against Duke last week, they appeared to be the team with all the confidence and the moxie and the savvy, and, that's a weird place to be when you are the 11 seed against, and I know this is not maybe the best Duke team we've ever seen, but it's still Duke, right?
Yeah,
It was just weird watching that game, and you sort of felt like maybe the uniform should have been switched or something. But it was quite a performance, I thought, by the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing about this run, aside from that shot against Virginia, is none of this has really been fluky. They've been the better team in all of these games. I mean, it's been crazy because the guys that had been playing terribly most of the year, Michael O'Connell, Mo Diarra, they've turned into Super Bowl players for them now. And then you've got the two DJs carrying the load there. So everything's just coming together at the right time. These guys know their role definition. And like I said, when you have that belief they have, it's a dangerous thing this time of year.
Many are billing the game on Saturday as DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. I don't personally see the game that way because I don't think they're going to guard each other. Like, it seems to me, I mean, Zach Edey certainly is not going to guard Burns. That wouldn't make a lot of sense. Edey really hasn't guarded the number one post player of any team this season. It's part of the reason why, I know this isn't the social media narrative. The social media narrative is that Zach gets all the calls. The actual narrative, he just doesn't guard the other team's best interior player. But how do you see that? I mean, that's been the narrative. I understand that's why, everybody's billing these two guys because, A, they're sort of larger than life. B, it seems like, a couple of guys with some great personalities. C, two guys who have played really well in the tournament. How do you see all of that headed into Saturday?
Yeah, first of all, not to slight DJ Burns, but I don't think anybody can ever accuse him of playing defense. So we can start there. Now, as far as, providing resistance, I can see that as just being a guy that gets in the way. It's like you said, the matchup, if you've watched the games, it doesn't make sense for those two to be there. But, I mean, they're going to be around the basket, so you never know what's going to happen in that scenario. I'm more focused on what we're going to see from the guards on both teams. I mean, I think Edey has shown he's going to get his no matter what. And if Purdue's guards are able to knock down shots, they're tough to beat.
Yeah, I think that is really where, even against Tennessee, Purdue wasn't able to hit the shots, but they hit the shots when they needed to. And Zach was just so good inside that sort of negated some of that. What's the NC State view of Zach Edey? What's the NC State fans' view of Zach Edey? Where do they sort of fall in that huge spectrum that we appear to have between those who appreciate Edey for what he has done and those mm-hmm. who seem to think that he's a free throw merchant or whatever they're saying these days? What is the opinion from that side of things?
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out more after talking to these guys since they're here and focused on this instead of celebrating the Final Four.
Yeah.
But I think there's a mutual respect there and a respect for a player that's an all-timer at Purdue.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably the best player in program history, right? I mean, he's going to win back-to-back Naismith Player of the Year awards, most likely. And, I mean, I don't see how you can ignore a guy like that. And I mean, they've been like this throughout the tournament, just praising other teams and mm-hmm. going out there and taking care of business. So I don't see why that narrative would change for NC State. I think the respect will be there, and obviously it should be with the way Edey has played these last two seasons.
Talking to Rob Baxley, who covers NC State for the Fayetteville Observer on the Blue Fox Heating and Cooling Hammerhead Hotline. So how do teams go about slowing down DJ Burns? You know, Duke appeared to really not want that smoke. It didn't seem like, I mean, you watch some of the highlights.
Yeah,
I mean, you watch some of the highlights of that, and it's like, what, they just decided they just were going to ignore him, I guess. I didn't really get it. I can't imagine that Purdue is going to do that. But what are the things that have caused him some issue this season?
Yeah, from what I look at, I mean, all these teams talk about how good of a passer he is, and he is a really good passer.
Yeah.
But do you want to give up a three, a lower percentage shot, or give up these layups, essentially, to TJ Byrne? I'm going to take my chances with State's guards knocking down threes. So the times I've seen him struggle is when they bring a double after his first dribble. That has seemed to knock him off a little bit. So mm-hmm. I would anticipate Purdue throwing a couple of different looks at him in that regard. I don't know if they'll double on the catch. I think he's a lot better when they when he's able to go ahead and get rid of it. So
yeah.
if maybe they wait till he puts the ball on the floor and bring doubles or, you know, bring different looks at him, I think that could cause him problems. Because Carolina, going back to some of those games, I do recall them going one-on-one with him and him dominating. And then they changed up the look and started bringing doubles in different scenarios, and they started to have more success. So I think that's a route for Purdue to take as far as slowing him down a little bit.
Do you have any idea what NC State will do with Edey? Have they played somebody? I mean, it's hard. It's a hard one
yeah.
to sort of say, have they played somebody similar? There are very
yeah.
few guys who are similar. But do you have any thought on what NC State will try to do?
Yeah, it might be the Tom Izzo route, man. I mean, you think you got three big guys there with 15 fouls,
yeah.
so you might just have to take your chances. I mean, you know, worst case scenario, he gets 40 again. Is 40 going to beat you in a game? Probably not if you can handle everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of a thing where there's not really an answer. You just hope he's having an off day or you're going to try and make things as hard as possible for him. He's just such a force. You know he's going to get his
yeah.
in most scenarios.
Yeah, I don't know that there's been any one great answer for Zach Edey,
yeah.
but certainly Purdue has seen a lot of different attempts at it. And I think you're right. I mean, it's going to come down to some of the other guys, probably for
oh, yeah.
both teams. Who are some of those other guys? I mean, if you had to pick an X factor for NC State, you know, a guy that if he, you know, does whatever, then it has a good chance to win. Who would that be?
Yeah, let's stick with Michael O'Connell, the hero against Virginia. He's been really steady as that secondary guard to DJ Horn as far as taking care of the ball, facilitating. If he can get a few threes to go down, that can open up NC State's offense even more. So
mm-hmm.
I'd start there. And then Mo Diarra, I think he's had a double-double in four of the last five games. He's been incredible. Through Ramadan, as he's observed that,
yeah.
and not been able to eat from sun up to sundown. So if those two guys can continue to play like they have been, NC State's got a chance to hang around and potentially pull off an upset, depending on how close it is in those final minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the you know, it's going to come down to those guys, seems like to me. And, you know, the two headliners obviously are going to have good games, I would imagine. But as oftentimes it does, it comes down to somebody, and maybe somebody we haven't even mentioned. What do you think about the start? Yeah. What do you think of the start of the game? Both these teams, I think, you know, put a lot into getting into the Final Four. Obviously, from Purdue's perspective, it's been a long time. And, you know, Purdue has taken a very business-like approach to everything. And I would imagine that they will try to do that again this weekend. This has been sort of a magic carpet ride here for NC State. Do you think that there will be an adjustment in those first 5 minutes to sort of feeling each other out and, the gigantic stadium and – sort of getting dialed back in to play a basketball game and all of that and knowing what is at stake with the opportunity to move on to the championship on Monday?
Yeah, I think it's impossible to walk into this scenario and think it's just another game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're out here, you're playing on a basketball game at a football stadium, first of all, so everything's different. And then you walk out and see these top seed and Zach Edey towering over everybody else. So I'm with you, man. I think those first 4 minutes might be a bit ugly before we get to that first media timeout. Maybe things will settle down.
Right. Hey, man, appreciate the time. I know you got a busy day, busy weekend. Have fun down in there in Phoenix.
Yeah, no problem, man. Pleasure talking to you. Hopefully we'll get a good weekend of games and a good national championship.
That's Rob Baxley, who covers NC State for the Fayetteville Observer. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. This is the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com.